Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Samach Gimel. We will give the Ezer Hashem is Baruch on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Two lines from the top. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda teaches us there is a bird that called a katina and comes in various variety. And says in katina sharich asaki, a katina bird that has long legs, the subka, and their body is red. Sharia, that is a bird that we may eat. It's kosher. Simanach, and the way to remember how that bird looks, and therefore to be comfortable in eating that bird, is Murzuma. It's the name of a bird that they knew was a kosher bird. This bird looks like that bird. So since it looks like that bird, if that bird is kosher, this bird is also kosher. On the other hand, says the Gemara, when we have a katina, which is gutsi, which is short, the simki, and has a red, is red, a siri, that bird may not be eaten. The simonach, and the way to remember this is nanus, a dwarf, is possible to be duly avoided in the base of Mikdash. And here too, this bird, given that it's so small, so short, that's why it's not kosher. Shtarichi shaki, if you have a katina bird which has long legs, viruki, and it's green, a siri. It's also may not be eaten. It's a non-kosher species. The simonach, and the way to remember this is based on what we just learned in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah said that a bird that fell into fire and the inner and the internal organs, which are normally red, we learned turned green. The halacha is that such a bird is non-kosher. So here too, this bird that has these, that has this greenest complexion, is going to be considered a non-kosher bird. Amar Yehuda, says the Gemara, when the Torah speaks about non-kosher birds, the Torah speaks about a sholach. And says the Gemara, what is the sholach? Zeh hasholach dagim min hayam. It's the kind of bird that grabs birds out of the sea. Duchafis, another type of bird which the Torah considers a non-kosher bird, says the Gemara, shahoy dukofis, its crown on its head looks like it's bent over. And since it looks like it's bent over, that is the simen that this is a kosher bird. Says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hachi, duchafis. When we speak about the duchafis bird, which is a non-kosher bird, it's a bird shahoy duchafis, that its crown is bent over. The Gemara speaks about when Shlomo HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdash, he captured Ashmedai, the king of the Shedim, and he wanted to know where the Shomer worm is. Ashmedai told him that Ashmedai is in the hands of the Malach, who is the Malach that the Tesoro Shalyam. And he gives it over to the Tanagol Abar. The Gemara continues to tell us that Shlomo HaMelech sent Ben Yoyada to bring the Shamer. The Shliach covered the nest where this bird is found with glass. And when the Tanagol Abar came to its nest, and he saw his children on the other side of the glass, but couldn't get to them because of that glass cover, he brought the shomer to drill a hole through the glass. At that point, Binyah ben Yoyada made some noise. That caused the Tanagol Abar to run away, and he got the shomer for building the Beis HaMikdash. The reason he needed the shomer to build the Beis HaMikdash, because Shlomo HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdash, but the halacha is loisanef alei bazel. You can't use a drill to cut whatever material you need for the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the shomer is the one that was used to get this. And the Gemara continues to tell us, the Medrash tells us, that the duchafis is able to cut through metal. And one time, the duchafis made a nest in the property of Rav Shimon ben Chalefta, and Rav Shimon ben Chalefta did not want that this non-kosher bird should make a nest in his in his property. And what he did was he destroyed that nest and he left a board there that, and he put nails on it with the intention that the Duchafis should not be able to return. The Duchafis then brought a grass, put that grass on top of the nail, and what happened was that grass broke the nails. Rav Shimon ben Chalafta saw this powerful grass, and he said that he's going to take that grass to make sure that thieves should not be able to get to that grass. And that's why the Rabbah says it's called Duchafis, do keep us, that it has the ability to break things into two. And says the Gemara, further, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ki avachazi, when he would see this bird, the Shalach, Omar Mishpatech Toim Rabbah, when the Pasuk says that even in the depths of the sea, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Shalach, even to the depths of the sea, and say that he uses the Shalach to bring justice to the world. Says the Gemara, Ki avachazi in the Mola, when Rabbi Yochanan would see an ant, that even the small insect, like a namala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of it, as we've been discussing many times in our shiurim, that it should have panosa, it should have whatever it needs. And moreover, I saw that the Mefarshim point out, Rashi says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he does stock up kahari el, with tremendous power, because the namala, which is the small ant, the halacha is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that it should still have panasa, and the same with the shalach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it panasa even in the depths of the sea, and need not be concerned that it won't have the ability to have panasa. And I saw that the Baal Tanya explains in the name of the Baal Shem that we see a very important lesson from here, that when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the world with tremendous Hashgacha Pratis, we think of Hashgacha Pratis in terms of huge accomplishments. But yes, our Gemara is teaching us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned even about the ants. Everything in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned and make sure that they should have what they need. Says the Gemara, Omar Meima, Likni or Bitni, these are two types of birds. Ashari may be eaten. Chazal knew that they are kosher birds. As we've been learning and will continue learning, the Torah identifies many non-kosher birds, but the Gemara is teaching us that these birds, Chazal knew, a kosher bird. Kanoi ubatnoi, makam shenagu lachl, in a place where the minig is to eat it, we can rely on that minig. Makam shenagu loy lachl, but in a place where the minig is not to eat it, ain't oichlim. Ask the Gemara Otto ben Hogatali Milsa, is the kashus of a bird based on custom? If it's kosher, it's kosher. If it's not kosher, it's not kosher. Answer Mar in, yes, it is dependent. And the Gemara explains itself. Loi kasha. Hadash Basr b'shchich Paris was niyam. The place where they did not eat it were places where there were Paris as near birds. And we have to be concerned that these birds are for the Paris as near type. For Haba Asr b'shchich Paris was niyam. But if in a place where there is no Paris was niyam available, so if there's no Paris Vaznia available, we need not be concerned that these birds are Paris Vaznia, and that's why we could be lenient. That's the opinion of Rashi. The Tosfos is bothered with that pshat, because Tosfos says, if we're concerned that these are Paris Vaznia birds, so then we should always be concerned, and there's no room for leniency. And therefore, Tosfos explains that they are certainly not from the Paris Vaznia. They're not from the Paris Vaznia family. And therefore, it should be permissible to eat them everywhere. But, Taisha says, they have similarities to the Paris Vaznia. And because they have similarities to the, says Taisha, to the Paris Vaznia, we need to be concerned that if people will be allowed to eat these birds, they may come to eat even they may come to eat even the Paris Vaznia bird. And therefore, in a place where we need not, where there's no Paris Vaznia available, we don't have that concern, and therefore it's mutter. But in a place where there's no Paris Vaznia, in a place where there is Paris Vaznia, we have to be makmanat eat it. According to Rashi, it's only a minig that we don't eat it. According to Tosfos, it seems that it's much more than a minig. According to Tosfos, it seems that this was a gzeiros chazal, that in a place where there's Paris Vaznia, and there's a concern that we may come to eat the Paris Vaznia, we should not be allowed to eat this, not just because of a minig, but it's halacha. And says the Gemara, Amabaya, Kui v'kakui asira. These are two other types of birds, the kui bird and the kakui bird. Asiri are considered non-kosher. However, the kakusa type of bird is sharia. But Marova says the Gemara that not only did they not eat this bird in Eretz Yisrael, but if somebody, Chas v'Shalom, ate that bird, Malka Leve, they gave him Malkus, because it wasn't just a question that maybe they're not kosher, and since maybe they're not kosher, we shouldn't eat them. They were considered definitely not kosher, and since they were considered definitely not kosher, that's why they got Malkus for eating them. For Karla, and they were called Tachva Osoi. The Torah speaks about the birds that are not kosher in Parsha Shemini, and the Torah says that, but now the Gemara Torah says that the same word, Tinshomes, is used amongst the non-kosher birds, and it's also used amongst the non-kosher shrotzim. And the Gemara explains itself. Tana Rabbanan, Tinshomes, when the Torah speaks about Tinshomes as a non-kosher bird, it's a type of bird. So Rashi explains that the definition of a boss means that it cries out by night. I also saw that another pshat that the Mashal explains, it's that it's a marsha boifus. It's a particularly not nice bird. Another pshat that the Gra tries to say is that it's a bird that can't see, doesn't have eyes. Another pshat is that the bird has in some way cheeks like a human being. At the Oyma Bar Shabbifus, so ask the Bryce immediately, does it mean it's a type of bird? Or maybe it's a type of a sheretz. We find that amongst the 13 ways that we understand the pasuk, and one of those ways is Dovah Lama Mejonai. Some we see the context of what the pasuk is speaking about. The pasuk that we see over here, the word Tinshamas is speaking about. But Ma'akos Medaber, what is the pasuk over here speaking about? Boifus, about birds. Afkan, so that's a proof that when we speak here about the Tinshamas that we're talking about is a bird. It says the Gemara, Tanya Namagab Shratzim Kai Gavna, but there's a similar Brisa that speaks about the Shratzim. It says the Gemara, Tinshamas, when we speak about the Tinshamas, again says the Gemara, the Tinshamas is Barshab Shratzim. Again asks the Brisa, Atama Barshab Shratzim, is it a type of Sheretz? Or yeah, no, Barshab Aifa, so maybe it's a type of bird. Amarta, to which again we say, Tselem Abishloshe Semidus Shatar in the dresses man. Let's see how the Torah is, what's the context. We look what else the pasuk is speaking about. It says, what is this pasuk speaking about? B'shrotzim. So we see that we're speaking about shrotzim. Amar Abaya, Ba'ar Sheba Oifetz, when we speak about the Ba'ar Sheba Oifetz, which bird is that? It's the kifuf bird. Ba'ar Sheba Shrotzim, when we speak about Ba'ar and shrotzim, which bird are we speaking about? The korpadoi. Amar Yehuda Kos, when the Torah speaks about non-kosher birds, and it speaks about the kos, it's referring to the cook. And I saw that David Ezra says the reason it's called the cook is because it's a kind of bird that's constantly nakia, it's constantly expelling its food. Why is this bird called a rechem? The kimish bar rechem, when this type of bird arrives, barach mal olam, it means there's going to be rain. Amar Abibi Brabaya, for who the Yosef Amidi, When is that the case? That if it's going to come, it means that it's going to rain. Vuhu the Yosef Amidi. It's only when it's sitting on something, and if Vavchrak and it's making some noise. After that, the Gemara says that's a proof that it's going to rain. The Gemiri, and the Gemara continues, we learned about this bird. The Yosef Ara, if this bird sits down on the ground, the Sharik, and it makes noise, it's a proof that Asa Mashiach, the Mashiach is coming. Shnema, a Sharik Elahim Vakapsim. I make this noise, and I will gather them. That's going to be a proof that Mashiach is coming. And I saw that the Taras Chaim explains, why is this a proof that Mashiach is coming? Because when do we make this noise? We make the noise to gather people. And when Mashiach comes, as we say in our tefillah, all of Klal Yisrael will be gathered together. Moreover, why is sitting on the ground a proof that Mashiach is coming? So the Ben Yoyada explains that when somebody is sitting on the ground, that means they're acting humble and modest. And when there will be humbleness and modesty in the world, that's where Mashiach will come. As the pasuk says, Hisnari me'ofer kumei. I saw a very deep shot from Bezal Zev Shafran. He says that when we look at the alabes, the letter Aleph is one. Beis is already two. Two means it's not just one. And then as we keep on going further in the alabes, he explains, every letter, as we go further in the alabes, alabes gimel, every letter represents that there's going to be more division in Klal Yisrael. And the more division the Rachmanot Tzlan is in Klal Yisrael, the more Mashiach cannot come. When we will go in the opposite direction, when we start working towards a direction where there is Achdus, then it's more likely the Mashiach will come. He says, if you look at the word that the Gemara here is using, the word Shrakruk, it's Shin Resh Kuf. Shin Resh Kuf is the opposite of the way the letters of the alabes go. Shin Resh Kuf means we're going from a higher letter to a lower letter, Shin to Resh to Kuf. When we will have Shrakruk, when we will have less division in Klal Yisrael, that's when Mashiach could come. Amalei Rav Ida B'Shimei Lamar Barav Adoi. V'ahudi Yosef Be'Karva. There wasn't this bird that was sitting amongst the cabbage. V'sharak, and it was making this noise. V'asa Golo Afsik L'Maychei. And all that happened was a stone fell on its head and just cracked its stone, its skull. Amalei Ahu Ba'idahava. That bird was a liar. That bird was not really designated by Kadosh Baruch Hu to say that Mashiach is coming. Actually, what that bird was showing was doing something that did not prove Mashiach was going to come. Tanra Bonin, the pasuk when it speaks about the Oiriv, which is a bird that's known to be a non-kosher bird, the pasuk says, "Kol Oiriv Laminai." What do we learn from here? Oiriv is Oiriv, as Kol Oiriv, Larav Oiriv HaImki. The Torah is coming to teach us that the Oiriv HaImki is also a bird that's not kosher. Laminoi, and then the Torah uses the word Laminoi. What the Torah means with that word is that's Hababa Rosh Yoni. If you have a Oiriv that comes together with Yoinim, that's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that it flies together with Yoinim, it's also non-kosher. So those explains the Bryce. Omamar, as we just said, when we speak about the Oiriv, says the Gemara, Oiriv Zeh Oiriv. Ask the Gemara, he says the word Zeh Oiriv. Ask the Gemara, was there Oiriv there? And since there was no Oiriv there, what is learned, what is Oiriv teach us, was Kom teach us, what is Minoi teach us? El Eima, Zeh Oiriv Uchma. An Oiriv which is completely back, the Kenu Oimer, and that was what the Torah, when the Torah describes the Oiriv, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, in Rishir Ashirim, Rosh Kesapaz, Kavut Soysev Taltim Shacharis Kairiv. So when we think about it, when we think about Oirif, we think about a blackbird. And as Rashi explains, the Torah, the Pasuk speaking about Oirif, the Brice is speaking about Oirif, and the question is, what Oirif, what are we speaking about? Because here, the Torah uses the word Oirif, and the Torah uses the word Oirif without any description. So the Gemara is saying that when the Torah uses the word Oirif without any description, it certainly means a black Oirif. Imki, and then when the Brisa says that we include the Imki, what does that mean? The Chivra, the white bird. What that means is, so the different Rishonim that have different interpretation, what the Gemara means when it says the Chivra. Some say that there is a type of an Oirif which is white, but the Ramban says that there is no Oirif which is completely white. Rather, there are Oirifs that the typical Oirif is completely black. But here you have certain Oirifs, you have certain ravens that have white spots in different places on the body, on the stomach, in different places. Vekeinu Oimer, and so the Pasuk says when the Torah speaks about somebody who has a nega on his body, the Torah says, V'royas a nega umarei omek mina or, kamar chama omek mina tzeil, which means that when you have a white spot next to a, when you have a white spot next to a black spot, the white spot has gives the impression as if it's deeper than the black. And so too on the Oirif, which is black but it has these white spots, the white looks deeper than the black. Then the Brisa spoke about the Oirif Habab Rosh Yonah. Ara Papa Loi Tama Dos Bresh Yoimim doesn't mean that it flies in front of the Yoinim. Ella, what it means to say is the dummy racial of the Yoina, its head, the head of this bird looks like the head of a Yoina. Tana Rabbanim, the Torah, when it speaks about the non-kosher birds, the primary non-kosher bird, the Torah Gedosha speaks about is Vanetz Lemeneu. Hanetz, says the Gemara, who is the Netz? Zanetz, we've been speaking about the Netz a lot. Lemeneu, says the Gemara, what does the Torah mean to say with the Lemeneu? Lahavi Barchivria. The Torah comes to conclude that the Barchivria is a non-kosher bird. My Machriya. So ask them, what is the Machriya bird? Amabai Shrinika. It's a bird that's called the Shrinika. Continues the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Vasa Chasida. The Torah speaks about another non-kosher bird called the Chasida. And what bird is that? That is the Daya Levona. And ask the Gemara, Loma Nikashma Chasida. Why is it called the Chasida? Shoysa Chasida Sim Chervasa. It acts kindly with other birds. So, of course, the question is, that many Mefarshim ask, that if the Chasida is the bird that acts kindly, why is it considered a non-kosher bird? So some explain, the Chiddush Arim, very famous word, Vart, Oysa Chasidim Chavrasel, it only is nice to its mates. To be nice to people like you, people who live with you, is not what greatness is. What it means is, you have to be nice to everybody. Another pshat that I saw, what does it mean? It's nice, but it's not nice with its own assets. What it does is it takes other people's assets and uses those assets to be nice. To be nice, but not using, to be nice, but not use it for your own purposes, that's not considered nice. Another pshat where I saw why an Oirif is considered a non-kosher bird, because an Oirif, as soon as it has babies, what happens is it leaves those babies and doesn't care for them. Somebody who doesn't have the ability to take care of its children is a not kosher bird. And there's a very interesting discussion in the Sefer Shuki Chemed around this subject, because he discusses if there was a child who was given up for adoption when he was born, and then in later years his parents, his biological parents, found him and they want to have a relationship with him. But he's very reluctant to have a relationship with those parents, because he says parents who weren't there to take care of me, to have the have like an oirev. And because we have, they're like an oirev, so then just like we know that the oirev is not a bird that we take care of, that that's kosher, maybe this also, their behavior is not kosher. So he quotes, he has a longer discussion here, but one of the points that he brings is from the Chinuch. And he says that the Chinuch says, why must we show respect to parents? Because we have to show them respect because they brought us to this world. And it says the same situation is here. Even though the parents maybe didn't act so appropriately and they gave this child away, but they are the people who brought this person to the world, and therefore he has to show them respect. Hanofa, says the Gemara, the Nofa is one of the non-kosher birds. What is that? Hanofa, Dair Exonus. Lamer Nekrishma Hanofa. It says the Gemara, why is this bird called an Hanofa? Says the Gemara, Shema Nafes in Magrasah. It doesn't get along with its with the other birds. As the Pasuk uses the word, Vashem Hisanef Bial Dvreichem. So the word Hanofa could sometimes mean something that he can't get along with anybody else. Continues the Gemara. The Torah mentions, as I said before, the non-kosher birds. Once in Parsha Shemini, but in Parsha Shemini, the Da'ah is mentioned and not the Ra'ah. And in Parsha Re'eh, the Ra'ah is mentioned and not the Da'ah. And the other difference is that in Parsha Shemini, the Torah says, Ha'ayo Lamina. It doesn't say Tahadayo Lamina. And a Pashas Rei, the Pasuk says Ayo Vadayo Lamina. And the Gemara focuses on this. But the way the Gemara begins this focus, says the Gemara, Amrav Chana Barav Chizda, Amrav Chizda, Amrav Chana Barei, the Rav Amrav, Esrim Ve'arba, Oifas Tamehim. There are 24 non-kosher birds. So ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Chana Barav Chizda, Rav Chizda, the Hecha. Where are 24 non-kosher birds listed? Either v'yikra, if we'll say in Parsha Shemini, if we'll count the non-kosher birds, says the Gemara, we'll find Esrim Havah, there are only 20. If on the other hand, the Mishnah Torah, if we're going to look in Parshas Re'eh, Esrim V'chad Havah, it's only 21. Says the Gemara, V'chitei Medo D'Ksiva B'yikra, the Da which is mentioned in Parsha Shemini, the like Siva Mishnah Torah, not mentioned in Parshas Re'eh, Shadu Elayu. So add that to the list. Still, Akati Esrim V'tartan Havah, it still only leads us to 22. And we just said that 24. Amal Eser of Chizda said to his son Rav Chanan, Hachi Amar Avudim Noach Mishmei D'Rav. This is what your grandfather told us. When the Pasuk says, Hanofa Lamina, and then the Torah says, Va'ayu Lamina, and then when the Torah says, Eskol Erev Laminoi, and then when the Torah says, Vesaneitz Lamineu, that gives us another 4, Harekan Arba, which leads us to 26. So ask the Gemara, so we still now have a dilemma. Because if it's going to lead us to 26, Ihachi, if that's the case, we're still short. Because if that's the case, then we have 26. But we said that 24. Answers the Gemara, Amar Baya, Daw, the Daw that's mentioned in Parshas Shemini, and not in Parshas Re'eh, and the Raw that's mentioned in Parshas Re'eh and not in Parshas Shemini Achasi. These Sakadatach Tatinun, if we're going to say that they actually are two different birds, so ask the Gemara Michti. When the Torah repeats Halacha in Mishnah Torah in Devarim, what is the reason? Michti, Mishnah Torah La Sufidasa. The purpose of doing so is to add more rules that weren't taught previously. So if that's the case, Mashnach D'Ksiv Da, why does the Torah not repeat it the same way in Parshas Re'eh as in Parshas Shemini? Or Mashnach D'Ksiv Ra'av Alayk Da, the Torah in Parshas Re'eh should have repeated everything that's in Parshas Shemini and added more. The reason this is not a question, says the Gemara, Shmamina Ra and Da Achasi are really one and the same. But ask the Gemara, even if we're going to follow such an approach, Akati Esr Chamisha Hava, so we are able to take one off from the 26 and get that to 25. But the Gemara began by saying that it's 24 types of non-kosher bird. Amra Baya, Shem Shirovada Achasi, so too, Kach Aya Vidaya Achasi, the Aya and the Daya are considered one type of bird. And again, the Gemara makes the proof this way. Because these Alkadatak Tarti Inan, if we're going to suggest that they're two different types of bird, Michti Mishnah Torah LaSufidos, as we just said, the purpose of Dvarim is to add. So if that's the case, Mashna Alkadik Siv Lamina, Ayah, what does the Torah word, use the word Lamina by the Ayah? Well, Mashna Hosam Dik Siv Lamina Adaya. Why wouldn't it say Lamina by the Ayah as well? The reason it's not necessary to do so, says the Gemara, because I have a daya achasi. So ask the Gemara, the chimi acher. Now that we've suggested I have a daya achasi, lomalila mechta I have a daya, what does the Torah have to say? Both answers the Gemara to Tanya. Rabbi Amir Ekrani Ayah, the Torah should have just said that Ayah, and we would automatically know that the daya is also non kosher. Velaman daya lomanemra. What did the Torah have to say? The daya, kadesh loititna peschapel about din lachloik, that we shouldn't have a situation that somebody say that this is a kosher bird. Shloyata kara ayah. One person will say it's called the ayah and say that only the ayah is a non-kosher bird. Vu kara daya. And this person will say, well, this bird is a daya bird and the daya bird is not usur. And therefore, at the kara daya, vu kara ayah. And the same concern would be vice versa. That there should be no room for mistake that both these birds are usur. Meisvei, so ask the Gemara, that now we're learning that these are the same bird. So ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, Laman Nishnu, why did the Torah have to repeat all of the kosher animals and birds, even though we already mentioned in Parshas Shemini, why did it have to be repeated in Parshas Re'eh, but Behema? So by Behema, as we discussed previously, there's a Shesua, that even though there's Shesua, as we said before, is a bird that has a double hump and has a double spine, and we would think that, and it's also Malagera, and therefore we would maybe think that's a kosher animal, to teach us that this animal is actually non-kosher. For Oifus, and why did the Torah have to repeat which birds are not kosher in Parshas Re'eh again, B'nei Re'eh, that's mentioned in Parshas Re'eh and not in Parshas Shemini. Malav, so the Gemara makes the following assumption. Malav and the Behemoth, the Hustle of Sufi, just like we're adding a new animal in Parshas Re'eh that's not mentioned in Parshas Shemini, so too, the Gemara is assuming that Oifus Namila Sufi, that the Ra that's mentioned in Parshas Re'eh is not the same as the O, which is mentioned in Parshas Shemini. And therefore, how can we suggest, ask the Gemara, that these two birds are the same? Says the Gemara, not necessarily what we're saying is correct. Indeed, when we're speaking about animals, so Hosoma Sufi, we're going to say that this bird, the animal that's mentioned in Parshas Re'eh, that we just spoke about, the Shesua is not an animal that's mentioned in Parshas Shemini at all. But when we speak about the birds, it's not that the birds that are mentioned in Parshas Re'eh, they're new birds that weren't mentioned in Parshas Shemini. Actually, Lefrushe, they're the same birds. This that we said, that there are 24 kosher birds, says the Gemara, Upligay, the Ravua is in disagreement with Rabbi Avuah. Said Amar Ravua, Ra zu Aya, v'lam nekushma Ra. Why is this called Ra? Shira b'yoyser. It has a tremendous vision. V'kenu Oimer, as the pasuk says in Iyov, Nosiv layada ayit v'lashisayin ayin aya. Iyov is speaking about how great at one point Sodom and Gomorrah were, and nobody, he said, the pasuk says, was able to go through, nobody was able to go through the land, and even the Meraglim weren't able to go through their land when they came to look at Yisrael, and therefore it's compared to a country that nobody sought, only from far. And Tana says the Gemara, when we speak about this bird, the raw bird, I met this bavol, it stands above all, and it has the ability for Roy in the veil of Eretz Yisrael, and it could see in the veil of Eretz Yisrael. And I saw that the Baal Shem, quoting the Mezritcha Maggid, says, what is this Gemara teaching us? The Gemara is teaching us that we sometimes, bavol is chutz laretz, where there is a bilbul, where the people are not on the highest level of Kedusha. And then there's Eretz Yisrael, which represents Kedusha. And what happens is, somebody who stands in Chutz Laretz and looks at Eretz Yisrael and says, well, Eretz Yisrael is not that great, that's a non-kosher bird. We're supposed to see the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. We're supposed to see the greatness of great people, not Chas V'Shalom, the other way, to see the barren people. And as I saw, the Sefer V'Yichi Yosef says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us vision. And what we're supposed to do with that vision is to see great things with that vision. But if we take that great vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us and we abuse it and don't use it properly, then we have a trefa bird. Says the Gemara, Midorah, says the Gemara, if we're saying that the raw and the ayah are the same, says the Mara, Mechlav the raw lava, the raw lava and raw. So isn't that mean that the daw is not raw? Because we're saying that 24, and if daw is raw, and raw is ayah, and they're all three the same, so we're off one from the number 24. Answers the Gemara, says the Gemara, Mechta Mishnah Torah Sufidasa. The purpose of the psukim in Mishnah Torah or to add more. Ma'ashtachad k'siv da, ma'ashtachad d'loy k'siv da, alav sh'ma'amina. From here we see da ura'ah ayah ura'ah 1, and now we're down to 23. It says, ma'adam ra'ah ha'ina ayah mechalad d'yah la'ah ha'ina. Says the Gemara that we see from here that what's called the ya is something else and not the ayah, because if not, we would be off. And the Gemara is still trying to say that we should have 24. Ask the Gemara another question. Why over here in Pasha Shemini does the Torah say the word Lamina by Ayah? The Torah doesn't use the word Lamina by Ayah, rather El Adaya, El Shmamina. Says, Madovra of Adaya Akasi. Because otherwise, we would have the question that we mentioned so many times in our Shir, that the Torah should have mentioned that bird, if that's a new bird in Parshas Re'eh. Tanya Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Mei Oifes Tmeim Yesh B'Mizrach. There are 100 different types of birds on the east side of the world, and the Kulam in Ayahim, they're all in the Ayah family. Says the Maratana Avim Ebreder Avua, Sheva Meis Mina Dogim Hain. There are 700 non-kosher fish. V'Shmana Meis Chagovim, and 800 non-kosher grasshopper, loifis in misper. And when we count the fish, we count birds, it's countless. Ask the Gemara, how can you say it's countless? We've been learning throughout our shir that oifis esr of arbahava, that there are 24 species of non-kosher bird. What are we saying that there aren't? There's so many. Says the Gemara, loifis tahirim, just on the opposite. The Torah mentions the non-kosher birds, because the Torah, just as we're going to see, mentions what's less. And the less is the non-kosher birds, and the kosher birds are countless. Tanya, Rabbi Yamagal Vidul Aflim Eshah Ma'olam, Shebehem Tamei Merubim Menatiris, that there are more non-kosher birds, non-kosher animals than kosher animals. And that's why the Torah says, L'fikach Mana HaKos B'Tara, that's why the Torah mentions the kosher birds, because the Torah wants to mention, as we'll see in a moment, the lesser number. And I saw that the Medrash in the Pirkei of Rebbe Elazar explains now why we could understand when Noach was told to bring animals into the Teva, he was told to bring 7 of the kosher and 2 of the non-kosher. Because since there were so few kosher birds, there was a concern that they should have enough kosher birds, kosher animals, so that's why they wanted to bring more kosher birds. Continues Rebbe. Oifus Tyre Murubin al Tmeim, there are more kosher birds than non kosher birds. Afika Chamana Akosba Tmeim, that's why the Torah spoke about the non kosher birds, and to give us the shorter list. It says the Gemara Maika Mashmon, and what do we learn from this Gemara? Tells us the Gemara, what we learn from Hikar Afuna Marav, Vamalei Amar Afuna Marav, Bashim Ramei, Lo'el Mishan Adam Tamei Tamid Katsara. We should always take the Derech Katsara. We should always take the shorter route. And therefore, we always should be the route that is, that should be the shorter route. So here, the Gemara uses the words that we should always teach the Derech Katsara. So the Sefer Divrei Yisrael for the Majlis Rebbe explains what does it mean that we should teach the Derech Katsara. We should teach our Talmidim that sometimes in life we are a Derech Katsara. Sometimes in life we're in a place that's tight, we're in a place that doesn't work so well. And it's our obligation to teach our Talmidim how to live in the world that is difficult, how to survive and do what we have to do in a difficult world. Since we have, as we've been learning in our shiurim, the non-kosher birds, but the Torah does, just mentions those names, but we don't know exactly what they are, so the only birds we could eat are birds that we have a Masaira. And if we have a Masaira, then that's a bird we're going to be allowed, then it's a Masaira that we're going to be allowed to eat, then we'll know that's not one of the, it's, now we'll know that it's not one of the non, it's not one of the non-kosher bird. I saw that the Marshal, however, says that if we have a bird that shows signs of a dairus, which we've spoken about many times, then we may never eat that bird. The Rush writes, furthermore, that if one comes from a location where people do not eat a certain type of bird, because they don't have a Masorah, they don't have a tradition, and then he visits a country where that type of bird is traditionally assumed to be kosher, you're allowed to follow the custom of the land and eat from that bird. Even though normally somebody has to, if he's coming from a place and he's going back to the place where he's coming from, he has to continue following the menhagim of how, of the place that he came from. He says, in this case, that's only where we're not eating something because we know it's not kosher or because we have a halacha concern. But in a situation where it's not based on a halacha concern, but rather, as we're learning now, it's based on tradition. So if now in your place where you are, there's a where you are now, there's a tradition that you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to continue eating it. However, says the Torah, that's only when you're in that place where they have a Masorah that they can eat that bird. But what about if you go back home? So the Torah says that if you come from a place where you learned that there's a Masorah, there's a tradition that you're allowed to eat a certain bird. So he suggests, and you come home and you report that. So now in your original place where they weren't eating it, now they will be allowed to eat it. The Rashba disagrees, and he says that you can't begin eating something based on a Masorah has of another place. It could be that that place has the Masorah, and because they have the Masorah, they may eat it, but where you're coming, they don't have the Masorah, and therefore, just because you're coming from a place that had the Masorah doesn't give you a right to eat the bird. The Shach differentiates between different types of menhagim. He says, the Rashba is referring to a case where there's a specific Masorah that this bird you may not eat. They have an explicit meaning not to eat that bird. So once they have an explicit meaning not to eat that bird, the fact that they are eating that bird in another place doesn't make it mutter to eat it. However, if you people of a certain location don't eat from a certain bird because they don't have a minig, they don't have a minig l'heter, and they don't have a minig l'isser, then Rashba will agree with the Rosh that if you could report that in this other location there's a minig to eat it, then the halacha would be that everybody would be allowed to eat that bird. It's interesting there are Moshe, Zatzal, when he speaks about a Messiah, he says a Messiah could only be given over orally. Somebody has a minute, somebody has a minig that somebody comes and reports with an edus that this bird is a bird that they eat in a certain, that this bird is a Messiah, they're edus that you're allowed to eat the bird, then the halach is we could follow that Messiah. But Ramosha suggests that if the entire Messiah is based on just having just because we have svarim books with diagrams, based on diagrams alone, we cannot be lenient. Says the Gemara, Nemratzai Loimer, a hunter is believed to say that Oifza Mosali Rebbe, I have a Messiah on this bird. Says the Gemara, we only could rely on that if the person is not just able to identify the birds, but he can identify their names. The Rishonim, the Chinuch, and the Meiri both point out that we could only rely on this type of edus when it's given by a Jew, not when it's given by a Nachri. And why is it so important to know the name? Because if you don't exactly know the name, we have to be concerned that they may be getting mixed up. By Reb Zeira, Rabbi Chacham, when we speak about a rabbi, what is that? When we speak about the Tzayed, does it mean he's a Talmud Chacham or Rabbi Tzayed? Does it mean that he's an expert hunter and knows birds? Tashma Adam Rabbi Yochanan, for who Shabak Ben Vishmesayim, that he knows them and their names. Yeah, Bishlomer Rabbi Tzayed. So if we're speaking about somebody who's a hunter, so then we could say that's why we need these conditions. Eli Amr Rabbi Chacham Bishlomer Shmaya Gamala. A Talmud Chacham could be familiar with the names of birds. El Inami Yadala, how could they be so comfortable in knowing how to identify the bird? El Lashmamina, Rabbit Sayed. It must be the hunter, and Shmamina, that's the person that we could look. And it's very interesting to point out that based on this, if we have a question about the kashrus of a bird, we should be quicker to rely on an expert butcher or an expert hunter who have all of this experience with this bird, with these birds, rather than relying on a hunter, because rather than relying on a Talmud Chacham, because a Talmud Chacham, as great of a Talmud Chacham he is, the halacha is that we should only rely on the hunter who's really familiar. Furthermore, I saw that the Paiskim have a serious discussion. Here we're learning about a Messiah. And the Paiskim discuss when it comes to a Sroigim, and we're concerned about the kashrus of something, and is it a kosher Esrog or not? Can we rely on the Messiah? And many suggest that we could certainly rely on the Messiah. And if there's a place, the Chasam Sofer discusses a Sroigim that came from Italy, from Greece. If these are Esroigim that there was a Messiah that were always used in Klal Yisrael, that is sufficient that we should be allowed to use that Esrog. The Simonim are not what are determining what's kosher. Moreover, there's a famous question about the kashrus of a turkey. The turkey was not a bird that was really seen in Europe in the Jewish communities. So how are we allowed to eat turkey? And many Paiskim suggest the reason we're allowed to eat turkey is because although there might not have been a Messiah in certain places of Jewish communities, but there are other places that had a Messiah. And the halacha is that we can rely, as we're learning on the Messiah, that as long as there's established Messiah, that's enough to be allowed to eat a certain bird.